We are grateful to the Lord every time we can come together like this, undisturbed, to hear the word of our God, pure and clear. For us who know this, it is something precious. Not a proclamation mixed with human opinion, not interpretations, not what others think, but the original word as it came from the mouth of God and was communicated to us through prophets and apostles, through real eye and ear witnesses who experienced God and who left it for us. And it becomes ever clearer to me that we would say the same things they said, write the same things they wrote. There can only be one plan of God, only one program of God, only one church of God, namely the church of the firstborn. That is why we do not feel the urge to formulate anything differently or to present it differently in terms of doctrine. No, as it has been left to us and handed down to us, so it is right before God. So it is true for time and for eternity. That is why in Revelation it still speaks of the everlasting gospel that is to be preached to all peoples, tongues, and nations before the end of time. And since we know that the time of grace is coming to an end, we also know that everything that is yet to happen must happen soon. Time is pressing. But we must also be careful not to panic, but to wait for the Lord and move forward with Him. For then will be the right time, as it was with the people of Israel. The pillar of fire had to rise before Israel knew, now we can continue, not before, but at that moment. And so we believe that our God is faithful and revealed to us at the right time what He wants us to do in His kingdom. If we take a brief look at political and religious developments, we can see very clearly that things are happening that would have been considered impossible a year ago. And today it is not politicians who determine things, but the people who make history. And it struck me, especially when thinking about the word from 1 Thessalonians 5:1-3, when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. These words, indeed the whole thing, have taken on new significance. And we see that the artificial division across Europe has come to an end, and that things are moving towards each other. As I have said and written, Holy Scripture speaks of the end times and of this continent, not of two superpowers. It speaks of a single beast on which the great whore rides. And we simply have to see it that way. And we have seen how much has changed since 1985, when Gorbachev, whom we love and pray for, came to power. And we are not only grateful for this development, but we see it as a fulfillment of Scripture. We see the handwriting on the wall. We recognize that things are now happening in all areas, in every way, that would have been unthinkable before. But when the time was fulfilled, as we read it in Holy Scripture, and so we may say the same now, because the time has come for this development, everything is happening in the way it is happening now. We observe it and have only one desire: to use this short time to bring the precious Word of God to as many people as possible. On the other hand, we also see how people are being misled, taken in by false hopes, without realizing that there is only one way, only one truth, only one life, and that all this is to be found solely in Jesus Christ our Lord. As far as proclamation is concerned, what Paul wrote remains true. We preach Christ crucified, who is foolishness to those who do not believe, but to us who believe, he is the power of God. In all our proclamation of the mysteries of God, of the entire plan of salvation, we always come back to the core, namely the redemption that was given to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Perhaps just a quick thought or two about the things that have touched me a little during my rest over the last 4 weeks. I have met people of various degrees and types. And just last week, near Munich, I had a conversation with a very elderly pastor's wife, 83 years old, in the state parliament in Munich and in the Bundestag in Bonn. And she was eager to know who I was. And we talked to each other. And then she also told me a little about her encounters with various men of high standing. And then she told me about a religious gathering at which a Protestant pastor was asked to say the final blessing, the closing prayer. And she said, she was still visibly moved by the whole thing. She said, "Mr. Frank, can you imagine what this pastor prayed? He prayed, 'Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.'" I knew, because I had registered certain things from the Church Congress in Düsseldorf, how they wanted to make God female for the sake of the women's movement which had found its way into the churches, how they wanted to twist scriptures, which I don't even want to go into because it borders on blasphemy, how they wanted to twist them so that God would appear not only male but also female. And even with Christ and the Holy Spirit, they redirected the matter from male to female. And you can imagine that I was a little angry about that. If people do not want to believe or cannot believe, then that is sad, and we deeply regret it. But when people can forget themselves to such an extent and touch God, then that really goes too far. But as I said, these are end-time developments that we will not stop. We will simply become more grateful for what God has given us. We will know the value of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then perhaps this one experience with a scientist who was in the same health resort and then sat at my table for a few days. He read my book and came back very moved after a few days and said repeatedly, "Mr. Frank, you should give lectures at universities. No one knows what you have written here," and. Every day he became more enthusiastic. Then I pointed out to him, "I would like to know what you say after you have read the last two chapters." And as you can imagine, it was no longer pleasant. He had only one sentence left. "We will never come together. You have made a claim to totality." Of course, not me, not us, but nothing else can exist or remain beside God. We did not tidy up everything on our part. We placed the divine upon the lampstand. And if the divine applies, then everything else can no longer apply. But people want everything else to still apply. This claim to totality made him furious. I had to think about it. God must also grant mercy here. Unless the Lord reveals himself to a person and they gain access to him through a personal experience, that is the most important thing. And I have said this often enough in my sermons. The proclamation of the word is there to bring those who hear the word into connection with God, so that they recognize on Golgotha God's reconciliation with mankind took place, and that we experience the Lord as the one crucified for us, and realize that we are crucified with him, buried with him, risen with him to a new life, that we have truly experienced the grace of God. That is what matters. I would like to recommend this, especially to the newcomers. Not just to hear a sermon, but to experience the search for God during the sermon, and then to find him, to experience him, to have a personal encounter, indeed a personal experience with him. Perhaps as an addition to the first case, it is strange that especially in an era such as the one we are now experiencing, Mary is being brought to the fore in the Roman Church, as we all know, those of us who are a little knowledgeable, so that the Protestants, for their part, are also following suit in order to somehow move in the same direction, so that the divide is no longer too great and understanding will be possible. But God has his people. He has them among all peoples, tongues, and nations. And as I said earlier, although these developments touch us painfully, we recognize from them that it is the end times and that people are presumptuous. As I said, Even theologians have no connection to God, and we can see the result of that. May it please the Lord to shake heaven and earth once again, to bless once again, so visibly, tangibly, that even those who are still in doubt today, but who are searching, may then actually find without further ado, so that the way to God can be easily shown to them, and it is the Lord who calls them, who reveals himself to them, and they can then follow him, to not remain in any darkness, but actually have the light of life. Let us read some scriptures in the hope that God will speak to us through them. There is no other way. God speaks to us through his word. Just as we speak to each other with words, through language, so God speaks to us through his word. I would like to begin with Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. 27 to 31. Here, the prophet has a why and then a second one. And I believe that we all find ourselves in certain situations in life in which we add one why to another without having the answer. Isaiah 40 from verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We are all on earth. We all have trials to endure. We all go through certain situations in our lives that we do not like. And then we too can ask, why? Let us put our trust in the Lord today. And not ask, why do you say Jacob? And why do you say Israel? Let us insert our names here. When we say, the Lord is not aware of what is happening to me, I admit it honestly. I too find myself asking, again and again, Lord, when will you speak? When will you act? Why? Why? And perhaps it is not only me, but some of us, and we may even be looking for mistakes. We look for where there are shortcomings, where the obstacle might lie. And we are sincere in doing so, and ask God to reveal it to us. Why are you not speaking yet? Why are you not acting yet? Why are the things we are waiting for not happening yet? Perhaps we even say, my fate is hidden from the Lord, and my rights remain unheeded by my God. No, God will do justice, as we read in the story of the unjust judge, and he said, "He will soon do justice for his elect. He will do justice. He will turn the situation around. He will make the blessing visible among those who have persevered, who have not been in a hurry, but who have put their trust in the Lord and were able to wait until his time came and he revealed himself." Verse 28 says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." Often one could read the scripture, "What I do, thou knowest not now." And sometimes, even when we think that the Lord is doing nothing, he is still fulfilling a purpose in our life of faith. For it is part of our faith that we receive promises, believe them, and then, when God's hour comes, see them fulfilled. God fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And then the glorious promise, and not just a promise, for he really does it. "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." In Brother Branham's sermon about the eagle, as we have heard, and also seen in the film text, an eagle renews its youth so that it can soar again, rise again to higher spheres, and we too, as believers, may trust in the Lord, may renew our youth, may become strong again in the Lord, for the Lord is our strength, he is our refuge, he is our power. Even when we sometimes seem to be completely down and out, we know that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And it simply remains true, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And Christ is not an idea. He is a personal God. He is our Lord and Savior. And when he as the Redeemer has taken dwelling in the redeemed, then he is our strength, our wisdom. Then he has become our everything by grace. Let us turn to John 16. John 16. Here we find a wonderful statement in verse 7. John 16. Verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter," there are various possible translations here, Comforter, Helper, Advocate, it is one word, but it has many extensive meanings. It then continues, "The Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." It is wonderful to know, and even more so, to experience that the Comforter is also our advocate, our helper, that he truly knows how to advise and assist us in every situation we have to go through, not only with words, but in deed. Our advocate, our helper, our comforter, our wisdom, he wants to become everything to us. And here we are told, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I read from the same chapter, verse 33, John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Here too one must pay close attention to the text. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace, not in this world. This world is full of calamity and discord. In Jesus Christ we have found peace with God. He has become our peace, and in that we rest. Even when everything around us looks completely different, in him we have peace, which passes all understanding, and shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It is also very important that this peace of God remains with us in every trial we have to go through, and that it is this peace that can keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But the Lord has also foretold this to us. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Here too we can say, our Lord has the last word. He is our peace, and the Comforter is with us and in us, as is the helper we need. And so we can put our trust in the Lord anew, and know that he will bring it to pass. From Romans 15, I would like to read verses 3 to 6. Romans 15, verses 3 to 6. Here it says, for even Christ, chapter 15, verse 3 to 6, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. We need to apply this to ourselves for a moment. We often have to go through things. And why do we go through them? Because people are rebelling against God. And because they know that we have a connection to God, they take out on us what they have built up against him. Have you ever understood that? That is how it is in this life with the children of God. They cannot take it out on the Lord God. So they take it out on those who belong to the Lord God. Therefore, When our Lord says here, "The reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me," we, God's children, have the same path to follow. Every kind of contempt, misjudgment, slander, whatever we have to go through, people react to us. Yes, they take it out on us. We have to feel and endure what they would like to vent. We are visible here, and so we have to bear it. Let us do so with joy. Let us do so with joy. Let us thank the Lord that He has deemed us worthy to bear the reproach, yes, His reproach, to go out before the camp to bear the reproach of Christ. Therefore, when we are reviled and misunderstood, let us thank the Lord, for this is a good sign that we are on God's side, and that all these reactions are directed at us because we are here on earth as the divine seed, as sons and daughters of God. I will read it again in the hope that it will be transfigured for us by the Spirit of God, and that we'll receive a direct answer here. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, "The reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I do not know if you all noticed that here it says of pleasing, as written here in verse 3, and as I have just read, and then there's no more mention of pleasing, then come the reproaches. I will read it again. For even Christ pleased not himself. If you and I do not live for our own pleasure, but, as Paul said, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me," that He has become our life, and we live to please Him, then the reproaches that were meant for Him will fall on us, and we will have to bear them. But they will not be a burden to us. On the contrary, we will see them as a sure sign that it simply has to be this way. It has to be this way, because we, as children of God, are still on earth. Perhaps once more, so that we really understand it well. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, and then comes nothing of pleasing, but the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Dear brother, dear sister, if you no longer live to please yourself, but want to live to please God, then you too will be reviled, and you will have to go through all these circumstances and situations with the Lord, and you will receive the comfort that Holy Scripture offers, as it is written here, and a consolation that comes from God. For we have read, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus." Sometimes trials even serve to bring us closer to the Lord and to one another. We feel more deeply for one another. We pray more fervently for one another. The needs of others become our needs, and thus a growth in the love of God takes place that brings us closer together. Since I just used the word growth, one of our politicians said, "What belongs together grows together." That became the most important saying of the entire year. What belongs together grows together. There's a wonderful word from Paul to the church in Ephesus, that the body of Christ grows together, that all members experience growth and are connected to the head. Have you all read that? Yes, it is a wonderful scripture. Paul, through the Spirit of God, has indeed already written all the things that we read and proclaim today. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." What belongs together grows together. And we believe that by the grace of God, through the Holy Spirit, we have been baptized, or must yet be baptized, into one body, namely the body of Jesus Christ, in order to be in this body and to be able to witness divine growth. I would also like to read very briefly from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Perhaps verse 11. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 11 to 13. "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Amen. This is God's holy word. He has taken responsibility for us, and whatever trials come our way, even if we think, now it's too much, we can't go on, and who among us has not experienced that the burden became so heavy and our strength so diminished that we almost said, I can't go on. Have you ever experienced that? I have. Don't worry. I have experienced it again and again, saying, Lord, I have gone as far as I could, and. You can imagine what one sometimes says to the Lord in prayer, but I want to freely confess this to His glory. As often as I said, I can't go on, I even said, I don't want to go on because I can't go on, and I can't go on because I don't want to go on. Make no mistake, even servants of God go through trials that are much, much worse than those you have to go through. And then, in such hours of trial, one says, Lord, I can't go on, and I don't want to go on, because I can go on, but I want to say this to His glory. He has always been strength and comfort and confidence. Every time I couldn't go on anymore, He could. When I didn't know anymore, He knew. Amen. And I think we have all experienced this, and it will remain so until the end, where we come to the end of our strength and our abilities. That is where He begins. We read this in the prophet Isaiah. May young men grow weary and faint, but those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. He remains our refuge forever, our help in times of need, our counsel, our strength, indeed everything we need until the end. From Hebrews chapter 10, a few verses that also tell us what we as believers can go through various circumstances and situations that we have to go through. Hebrews 10, verse 32. Hebrews 10, verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. And now comes the climax. Cast not away therefore your confidence. Shall I read it again? Cast not away therefore your confidence. A German saying says, he threw in the towel. It became too much for him. He no longer wanted to or could continue. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And now the apostle speaks up and writes, But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. We have become believers in order to honor God through the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And I also admit that trials can very quickly cause our faith to become small, and that the Lord must rebuke it, as he did then, O ye of little faith. That was his address then, and today he calls it out to us. For deep down in our hearts, we know that the Lord will emerge victorious with us and we with him, and that he will bring everything to pass in a glorious way, and as we read earlier, that he will arrange things so that they come to an end in such a way that we can bear it, that we can still endure it, because God cannot allow anything beyond our capacity. Are we not glad about this? Even though, as children of God, have to go through many situations in life and endure trials, he has given us the promise, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. And through the prophet Isaiah, he said, when you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. When you pass through the waters, you will not be drowned, for I, the Lord, am with you. He has made it true to this day, and will make it true until the end. He simply calls out to us, O ye of little faith, be strengthened in faith and trust. He is with us, even when we do not always hear him, and do not always see him, and perhaps do not always experience him in the way we would like to. Nevertheless, he keeps his word, and his promise remains true. I am with you always. He said even more, I will be in you. He has kept both promises. He is in us as the hope of glory. He is with us to preserve us, to protect us, to be with us, to help us, so that everything may be accomplished in such a way that he may be honored. Our God, who has done everything for us, yes, in Christ, he has redeemed us and made us God's children, has forgiven our guilt and sin, and revealed his plan of salvation to us so clearly and plainly. He, who has done so much for us, will not cease until his work in us, with us, and through us is complete. And we can enter into trials strengthened in faith, without fear, because we know that the Lord is with us, and that all will be well. Even if we sometimes have little faith, we later ask ourselves why we had it in the first place. It would have been unnecessary. We need not have doubted at all. We could have trusted him, as we are told here, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. And the just shall live by faith. Jesus Christ came as the Good Shepherd and gave us life that we might have it more abundantly. For he said, I lay down my life for the sheep, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Even today, dear brother, dear sister, dear friends, today we can experience God here in this place. Today, new trust and new confidence in God can arise in our hearts, brought about by the Holy Spirit. His word will not and cannot return void. It accomplishes what he sent it to do. Be strengthened in the name of the Lord. Be comforted with the comfort that God has given us through his word. Have new confidence which has been given to us by grace through the word. God deserves that we honor him through faith and place our hope and confidence in him. He will bring it to pass. Praised and glorified be his glorious name. Amen. Let us stand and give thanks to the Lord. God is present. Great things are happening through the power of the blood, the word, and the spirit. The Lord is at work among his people and in a mighty way. As we bow our heads, close our eyes, and open our hearts, I would like to ask if there are any here who are here for the first time and who would like to consciously dedicate their lives to God. You feel that his word has spoken to you. You have heard the call. You are meant. He speaks to you, dear heart. He speaks to you. He speaks to us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He has made the offer. He will not cast out anyone who comes to him. Come today, come today, sings a songwriter. Come today, while God offers you grace. Come today. While everyone remains in prayer, I would like to ask those for whom we are now praying to raise their hands briefly. Raise your hands briefly. Is anyone here? Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. I know that the Lord has spoken through his word. I know that his word accomplishes what it was sent to do. It cannot return void. It is God's holy word. We proclaim the full gospel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the fact that today, after almost 2,000 years, you are still the same, that you still save, forgive sins, and give eternal life today, that you still heal today, still deliver today, still make children of God out of children of men, still reveal yourself to your own today, speak to them, and bless them. Beloved Lord, everything has remained as it was in the beginning until the end. You are Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the one who was, who is, and who is to come, the Almighty. As our beloved brother prayed, Come soon, Lord Jesus. Put an end to all need, all suffering, all crying. It will happen. It will happen soon, for you will return. We see from the signs of the times, from the overall development, that your coming is near, very near. It is at the door. Lord, use us to bring the glorious message, the message of God, to the peoples, tongues and nations. Lord, give us access to all mass media so that all peoples can be reached. Beloved Lord, you have also arranged for the proclamation to take place. O God, we thank you sincerely for the comfort, for the strength, for the confidence, yes, for the strengthening, for all the blessings that we have been able to experience in so many ways today. Faithful Lord, you have saved, you have delivered, you have forgiven sins, you have revealed yourself. I thank you for that. We may now bring to you all those who have come to you. Accept them, O Lord, that there may be joy in heaven over all who come to you. Beloved Savior, they are entrusted to your grace. May you enter their hearts with your peace. Grant them certainty through thy Spirit, who bears witness to their spirit that they have become children of God. For thus it is written, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thus it is written, to all who received you, you gave power to become children of God, even to them who believe on your name. Beloved Lord, we trust in you, that you have called, that you have saved, that you have accepted, and that you have made children of men into children of God. To you, the Almighty God, we offer our heartfelt thanks once again for your word, for your spirit, for the precious and holy blood that flowed on Golgotha, with which you entered the Holy of Holies, the blood of the New Covenant that flowed for the people of the New Covenant. Beloved Lord, bless us all and be with us all. Yes, we ask you from our hearts, lift up thy countenance upon us and give us thy peace and thy blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.